Hello, everybody. Welcome back to World's True Crime. My name is Brad, and with me, as always, is my beautiful fiancée, Denise.
Hello, everyone.
Okay, Sally Marie McNeil, who was a professional bodybuilder, was arrested and convicted for the murder of her husband and Mr. Olympian competitor, Ray McNeil, on Valentine's Day, February 14th, 1995. The story goes into both their lives, and the day Ray McNeil was shot not once, but twice by his wife. Now, was this self-defense or cold-blooded murder? You decide.
So Sally was born May 29th, 1960 in Allentown, Pennsylvania. She described her childhood as a tough upbringing by experiencing violence so frequently that she had thought it was commonplace in every household. Her father, Richard Dale Dempsey, was a raging alcoholic who frequently abused her mother. He had even kicked her in the stomach when she was 8 months pregnant with Sally. When Sally was three, her mom remarried and had two more children, Judy and Jill. Again, Sally was in a bad situation with her stepdad playing favorites with his two girls. If they were yelled at, she was physically abused.
So if the other two girls were getting yelled at, then Sally got abused.
They would only get yelled at. That was as far as it got.
Okay.
But Sally, it was never just yelled at. She was always abused.
Okay.
So, and if they got new clothes, Sally would get hand-me-downs. Sally remembers being told to wear a long dress to hide the bruises that her stepdad had given her. She even dated a black boy named Victor for 8 months. Her parents didn't know, as she had hid it from them since interracial relationships were not a thing, and they were very racist. When her parents found out, they called her an N-lover and grounded her for the entire summer. Sally's dream was to become a gym teacher as she was very athletic in high school. She did everything from swimming, diving, and running. There wasn't a thing that she didn't excel at. Enrolling at East Stroudsburg State College, she thought this was the best idea in achieving her dream. She spent 3.5 years there, but with only one semester left, she ran out of funds to continue on her journey to become a teacher. Her parents refused to help, so unfortunately, she had to drop out. That kind of sucks.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Like one semester left. So what does a person do with no money in 1982?
The moonwalk.
No, she joined the Marines, just like her brother and her uncle before her, and even reached the rank of sergeant. Now, I don't know the whole ranking system in the military.
Sergeant's higher up there.
Yeah, I thought so. So Sally met Anthony Loden, better known as Tony, on June 10th, 1982. Eventually, the two got married and had two children, a boy, John, and a girl, Shantina. Once married, things changed. And I mean changed for the worst. Tony turned abusive, which led them to finally getting divorced, giving Sally full custody of the kids. She was transferred across the country to Camp Pendleton in California. While in the forces in 1987, she started bodybuilding and had her first competition on Valentine's Day, taking fourth place. With bodybuilding, there are 8 poses that are scored and size, shape, and proportions are all looked at. Not bad for a beginner. This is when she met another bodybuilder, Staff Sergeant Ray McNeil, through a friend. Ray, who was born in North Carolina, was given up for adoption when he was just 2 weeks old and raised by his aunt and brought up in poverty. Ray had a lot of struggles growing up, not only in the area he was raised, but also from being raped as a child. Ray had just come home from Okinawa, Japan, and wanted to meet Sally. Sally said immediately she lusted over him, as he looked like a statue of David, who was also polite and kind. Hitting it off, they ended up dating for just 2 months before getting married and settling in Oceanside, California. But just 3 days after, Ray started to get abusive and punched her in the face, splitting open her lip.
She just can't get a break, can she?
No. She's had it rough, actually. Like abusive people do, they say sorry, and it'll never happen again. But it most always does. I've been there, done that. He even went to lengths of forcing her to have sex with him, since in his eyes, that meant she forgave him. Again, being there, done that. Even though he said he would change, I think deep down she knew he wouldn't.
That's usually what happens in these situations. They're always like, oh yeah, I'll change for you, but they just never do.
No, I think they're just stuck in their ways.
Yeah.
So he didn't change, but you're going to learn a little bit more about her too. Her love for him was just too strong. Like, she did not want to leave him, but I did read that although she loved him to the moon and back, his love for her wasn't as strong. The kids said they had a lot of good times, even though there are many times that they were embarrassed as people stared at them, since Ray and Sally didn't look like everyone else with their huge muscles, as well as being interracial.
Yeah, I guess interracial in the 80s was still not as relevant as is now. Like we talked about in the Alien case, when we had that interracial
Barney
couple,
and Betty.
Betty and Barney Hill.
Yeah.
That was in the 60s and it was still bad. 20 years later, and it's still like almost the same.
And actually, even today, people do double takes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I was watching this one TikTok, and this one woman, she had a white child, her husband's white, and people are very rude to her, thinking that she adopted and everything. Like, it's just not accepted with so many people, like old timers, even.
Yeah.
I think they're just stuck in their ways. So, in 1990, the two won the Armed Forces Bodybuilding Championship. They were the first husband and wife to win individual events. While in the Marines, Sally was written up a lot. Like, her file was extensive. In 1990, after 11 years in the Marine Corps, Sally was demoted from her position as sergeant for her continuously poor behavior record, including anger issues, violence, and lashing out at others.
I think that when she's being abused by somebody who's bigger than her, I think that she was trying to abuse other people who are smaller than her to compensate, would be my guess.
You know, some people do that, but I know being bullied as a child, even being bullied now, I have empathy.
Yeah.
I've grown more empathetic towards people.
Right.
And some people, they go the other route, like you said. So Sally was now working in the mess hall until 1993, when her time was up. She said she hated it, but a paycheck was needed, so she continued on. Plus, I think you're in, like, you have to stay in until they release you, right?
You don't have to, but if you want to be released with
dignity?
Well, no, not just that. You also get the pension and stuff like that.
Okay. Her son John said that he remembered a time when his mom would go dumpster diving for cans trying to make ends meet. Because of Sally's behavior record being so tainted, it also meant that she couldn't re-enlist in the armed forces after serving her time. It was ultimately this chain of events that led to Sally's being discharged from the military. Sally's children also recalled their parents arguing, including a time when Ray broke Sally's nose while they were all watching TV. Shantina ran out of the house terrified. John remembers the crack of his mom's nose breaking and that there was blood everywhere. She went to her sergeant to report it and was sent to the medical. Ray was sent to the brig, but when he was released, he beat Sally for telling and she was forced to drop all the charges. As it would turn out, in 1991, Ray left the Marine Corps so that he could turn pro at bodybuilding. John said that Ray would often beat him when his mom wasn't around. He remembers a time when he got home from his first day of kindergarten and he had gotten in trouble for talking. When Ray found out, he got a belt and said, now that he's older, he can now get whipped instead of being slapped with a hand. Even if one child was in trouble and the other child wasn't, he would force both of them into the room and make the other one watch. John described Ray as the devil. Remember, Sally was no saint herself. On top of her military record, she had a police record for being violent, even being arrested previously for assaulting a mailman. So in this incident, John was hit by him, and when Sally found out, She went to his place and beat the crap out of him. I have to say, though, if I found out some mailman hit my kid, I will be out there. I will beat the shit out of you, too. I'll be arrested. I'm going to protect my kids.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have strangers hitting your kids.
No. But what she does after is like, no. So when two police officers showed up, she started to fight them. Three more police officers came to her door, and she started to take them all on. In the end, it took five officers to get her out of the house. She's pretty freaking strong.
Yeah. Well, she's a bodybuilder.
She's a bodybuilder, but sometimes bodybuilders, it's just all about looks, but not strength. Yeah, but actually, she had strength.
Yeah, like a lot of it's just show muscles.
Right. Sally was well aware that her husband was having an affair. Actually, he slept around a lot. He was getting phone numbers and love letters from these women because he traveled around from town to town, right?
Yeah, for competitions probably. Right.
So he never denied it, and he promised he would stop, but he never did. He always had a girl on the side. Sally attacked one of Ray's lovers at a bodybuilding show, pinning her to the ground and hitting her repeatedly after the girl said, "Fuck you, Sally." This resulted in the National Physique Committee suspending Sally for 1 year. In 1991, Ray competed against a Canadian named Paul Dillette, and he was terrified. No one thought Ray would win against Paul, but when they started to pose, Ray had him. Ray's muscles were carved and distinct, unlike Paul. Ray ended up winning that competition hands down. In 1992, Ray met a girl named Marianne at Gold's Gym. The two of them had a connection and he started seeing her regularly. Ray fell in love with Marianne. When Sally found out, she started to threaten Marianne, told her to stay away from her husband or else. Again, I'm with her on that one too.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, she should have just left him. And
she should have.
Just left him and then continued on with her life and everything would have probably been hunky dory.
Yeah. Like, I don't know why she, like, I know love makes you stay for certain things. I can't preach.
But I mean, when you're being abused and you actually have a way out, take it.
If you have a way out, yeah.
She had her way out.
Yeah, she could have. But when your love is strong, you put up with a lot of shit.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah. As most people are well aware, steroids were a normal thing back then. And honestly, when I looked it up, they still are. So it wasn't long before Ray started using anabolic steroids as well. You kind of needed to keep up with competition. And when Sally saw the results of her husband, she started to use them too, hoping that she would start getting the same results as he was. This is what Sally didn't want to talk about. But in order to get steroids, Sally would have to go down to Tijuana with the kids and purchase them from the pharmacy and smuggle them in a compartment in her Firebird and come home. So she had her...
I just want to say, I'm sorry to stop you there, but it just seems like it's like a cliche, right? Mm. She's a bodybuilder in a Firebird. Does it actually have an eagle on the hood of it as well?
I don't know.
Just such a cliche.
I haven't looked at any pictures. Oh, yeah. But it was pretty shitty of her to take her kids on a smuggling trip.
Yeah, you know? 100%. And
it wasn't just once either. It was numerous times. But Sally wasn't able to use much of the steroids as Ray, being the more physique person, got first dibs. But Sally did get some. She said that Ray felt superior in the family and he wanted her to support his career and for her to quit working. But the thing is, Sally was the breadwinner and Ray had no job and spent all his time working out. So how is she supposed to quit her job? Well, I'll go into that in a second. Sally said after he used his steroids, that's when the beatings got worse, the adrenaline going through your body and everything, because they would either inject it into the muscles or else take pills and stuff. But with women bodybuilders, they would get a side hustle, making money doing contests, and Sally was great at doing chin-ups and lifting weights repetitively. So that's what she did for money. That was until someone saw her and was immediately interested and impressed by her. Sally was approached by a man named Bill Wicks, who asked her if she was willing to wrestle for him. Bill would videotape women wrestling men and sell them. Watching it was a poorly scripted acting film and everything porn without the actual porn. I think you kind of understand it.
Yeah, I kind of get an idea of what's going on here. It's like, it's kind of being sexual in the ring.
Yes.
Probably in, it's probably like those jello fights or whatever, you know, like the mud fights.
Well, it was, some of them were just really bad. It's like
the same idea as that, right?
Yes, it was so bad. So they use names like Sally versus the Lemon Thief. It's kind of funny. She was making $50 an hour, but then she started wrestling for a lot more. Sally started her own business, Top Secret Production, and got rid of the middleman. Kind of smart.
Yeah.
Her first movie was Snow Job. Sounds like a porn to me. Snow Job.
Do you know what a snowball is?
A snowball?
Yeah.
Like an actual snowball?
No.
Oh, probably not.
I'm not going to say it on here, but if anyone wants to know, look it up. Snowball. Sexual.
Snowball. Sexual?
Yep.
It's like a pearl necklace?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's when a guy, when a girl goes down on a guy and they kiss afterwards.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know it was called a snowball.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for that. How can I read after a visual like that? So another video, Private Selena. She is ripping off her clothes and starts wrestling in the Marine Corps with a staff sergeant who is being mean to her. No, she's not like naked underneath her clothes. She has a bodysuit.
Okay.
So the poster for this had the same gun she used to shoot Ray with, almost foretelling the future of Killer Sally McNeil. There's a thing called schmoes who pay for muscle worship. Sally was no stranger to this either. She began a career wrestling these men on video for $300 an hour. This is what earned her the name Killer Sally. These men were from Wall Street to civil engineers who paid for private time either at her hotel room or their home to be dominated by these women and get off on it. It's up to our imagination if she actually had sex with these men.
Usually in domination settings, mm-hmm. sex is usually not involved.
Really?
A lot of it, yeah. It's a lot of just the men get off on the dominance. They don't actually get off on the sex itself because they just pay somebody to have sex with. They're paying for the dominance, though.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if she actually did, but she knew that her husband was having affairs.
Yeah, but she's making money just by not having sex.
Right. During this time, Ray competed in the 1993 Mr. Olympia competition. Isn't that the Arnold Schwarzenegger thing, right?
Yeah, that's, well.
He won.
He's one of them, yeah.
He's Mr. Universe, isn't he?
At one point when he was like in his prime, yeah.
Yeah. So winning would have been a payday of $100,000. I actually thought that was pretty low.
Yes and no. Bodybuilding wasn't crazy big. I guess it was in the 80s. It was starting to get bigger and bigger. People didn't know Arnold Schwarzenegger for his bodybuilding, usually, for the most part, is when he became an actor. Yeah. Then they started finding out about his bodybuilding.
That's very true. Unfortunately for Ray, although he was charming and had stage presence and his body was amazing, his calves were not as chiseled as others were.
Skipping leg day. That's a no-no.
Yeah, skipping leg day.
Can't skip leg day.
Nope. Ray ended up placing 15th. With Dorian Yates taking the win. This devastated Ray. There was a time when Shantina said her dad came home with blood all over him, and when she asked what had happened, he said someone attacked him and he fought back, but blinded the man by sticking his fingers in his eye sockets. She described her dad's temperament as Jekyll and Hyde, since he was nice to some, but took out his anger on her mom. In 1993, while extremely drunk, Sally was confronted by a club bouncer for dancing on the tables. Sally ended up kicking him in the face 3 times, and when the police arrived, she threatened to kill them. Goes to show her anger. Sally said when a friend of hers who used to compete was murdered by her boyfriend, that was an eye-opener for her. She knew that Ray was capable of doing the same thing. She knew that Ray might very well strangle her to death, just like her competitor, since Ray strangled her quite often. It could easily go too far. Sally had plans to leave Ray and go to her mom's, who was selling her childhood home in Allentown. She would only have to pay $50 a week to stay there. Shantina was in grade 6, and John was in grade 4. To complete her plan of escaping death, she needed to save a little bit of money. The kids were already aware of the plan. They knew that at a moment's notice, they might have to make a run for it. They even had some things prepared for the one-way trip. Unfortunately, a different chain of events happened. One Sally knew was going to happen. It was just a matter of when. It was late the night of February 14th. Sally didn't know where Ray was. He was 2 hours late from coming home. John went to bed and Sally waited up for Ray. Meanwhile, Ray had called his best friend, DJ Jeffers, to go to his place, but when DJ got there, Ray still wasn't there. Sally wanted DJ to stay and wait, but he left to get food, and when he came back, all hell had broken loose. It was said that Sally wanted DJ to stay there because Ray was nicer when his friend was around.
The whole Jekyll and Hyde thing, right?
Right. DJ sometimes blames himself for not being there. It's not his fault. If anyone is to blame, it's Sally. If you're in a situation like we talked about where you think something traumatic might happen, you get yourself and your children out of it. Murder's never the answer. So while DJ went for food, Sally gave up waiting for her husband, so she decided to get the neighbor to watch the kids and to go get ready to go to the pub, hoping that Ray was there and she could join him. While Sally was getting ready, Ray walked through the door, angry with her getting ready to go out. A fight started with Sally blaming him with infidelity. Ray happened to be out with Marianne, the woman he fell in love with and who he wanted to be with. He knew his marriage was over in his heart, and he had intentions of breaking it off with Sally. Shantina felt uncomfortable in the room, so she went to her bedroom. Ray hit Sally, and then Shantina, from her room, could hear her mom gasping for air as she had been choked. It's a sound she knew far too well. Sally was able to run to her bedroom where the sawed-off shotgun was. Putting a bullet in the chamber, she walked out to the living room and pointed the gun towards Ray, who was in front of the stove. Asking him to leave, Ray said no. Sally shot Ray in the stomach, and when he started coming towards her, she shot again in his face. Ray fell to the ground. Shantina came out of her room with a bat, thinking her mom was dead by the hands of her stepdad. John woke up from the screaming in his little apartment. Sally retrieved a blanket and covered up his body to keep him warm and from going into shock, and then went outside and gave the shotgun to a neighbor and went back inside. Giving the shotgun to the neighbor was to show the police that she was not a threat.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that's right, right? Because when the cops come there, you want to have all your firearms
right.
Not around.
Mm-hmm. After 8 years of marriage and things never getting better with their relationship, everything came to a dead stop that night when Sally called 911 and said, "I just shot my husband because he beat me up."
911, I just shot my husband because he just beat me up.
You shot your husband?
Yes, I'm at 1802 South Tremont.
Who's crying in the background?
My daughter.
Okay, is he dead?
He shot.
Okay, what's your name?
My name is Sally McNeil. Don't shut the door, Shantina.
How old is you?
He beat me up.
Ma'am.
I just got beat up.
How old is your husband?
My husband is 20, 30 years old.
Dad's a Oh, my God.
Is he breathing?
Yes.
He is breathing?
Yes, he is.
Is he conscious?
Yes. Just hold on.
Where's the gun at?
Hold on, please.
That's just a little clip from the documentary we just played for you.
I really hate the fact that she kept saying, "He beat me up," telling the kids, "He beat me up." It's like she was trying to brainwash them.
Well, from what I heard is that from her statement saying that he was beating her up at the time.
Yes, but we'll go into some more in a little bit and it might change your whole view of everything.
Okay.
So to this day, Sally has claimed she did not just wake up one day and think, "I'm going to kill my husband." If you talk to John today, he would say the whole ordeal was a relief. Ray could never hurt them again. Ray was rushed to the hospital and the kids were placed in a police car and taken away from their mother. The memory of that day hurts them still. They were scared and only wanted to be in their mom's arms. Taken to the police station, both John and Shantina were questioned about their dad and mom and about what had happened. Sally was also questioned separately. The police transcripts read that Ray slapped her, pushed her down on the floor, started to choke her. Sally squirmed away, ran into the bedroom, and took her sawed-off shotgun out of its case in the closet. Sally then shot Ray twice, once in the stomach and the other one in the jaw. Although Sally claims it was done in self-defense, evidence says otherwise. Sally's body language during the police interview was, to say the least, questionable. She also didn't even ask about Ray and if he was still alive. She showed no remorse or that she was a battered woman, as well as she was taking a nap on the floor. Who takes a nap on the floor when your husband was just shot? A guilty person.
Or, like, relief.
I don't think so.
Thinking that you're finally free of somebody who's beating you.
Mm.
It could go either way, in my eyes.
I watched her in the interrogation room, the video, and it was just really odd. So if you speak to DJ Jeffers, who was Ray's best friend, you would hear him say that Ray attacking Sally and her killing him in self-defense is not the truth. Talking to many people who knew Sally, all would say Sally was very aggressive and violent towards Ray on many occasions. Ultimately, she was arrested for the murder of Ray McNeil, and the two children were taken to Polensky Center Children's Services waiting for their grandparents to come and retrieve them. Prosecution wanted $1 million bail, but due to being a battered woman, it was reduced to $100,000.
And you only have to pay about like 10% of that. It's like 10 grand.
I think right?
Yeah. I think it's like 10%. I don't know what it is back then, but yeah, but 10 grand.
Yeah. And since Sally knew many friends from the wrestling days, she was able to get bail from the so-called schmoes and spent the year before trial out of prison.
Happens in a lot of cases, not out of the norm there.
It's not. At trial, which started none other than Valentine's Day.
Exactly like 2 years later?
1 year.
It wasn't 95?
Yeah. Okay. 1996, Sally McNeil's defense team argued self-defense and that she was suffering from battered woman syndrome. And if you don't know what that is, it's a psychological effects of living with an intimate partner violence. Her defense team, William Raphael, even suggested taking out her shoulder pads and for her not to work out so that she didn't appear to be as muscular and a woman who could take care of herself. However, the prosecution, led by Daniel Goldstein, successfully argued the murder was premeditated as she had shot Ray twice, one in the stomach and the other in the head, with reloading in between rounds. The murder did not happen like Sally had described in her interrogation, but instead like this. Ray, who was 8 feet away, fell to the ground after being shot in the stomach. Moments later, he was shot again in the face. The face shot is not what killed Ray, though.
A close-up shotgun to the face is not what killed him?
Nope. His stomach bled out into the chest cavity. To prove that it was premeditated, the authorities found the shotgun shells in the bedroom, not the living room where Sally said that she had shot from, reloading there.
So she shot him in the stomach, went back to the bedroom, reloaded, came back down and shot him in the head? Is that what I'm getting from that?
Exactly. I was just going there.
So that is definitely going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
He was already incapacitated. She didn't have to fire the second shot.
Exactly. Ray was shot in the face while he was laying on the ground from being shot in his stomach. His blood was under the lampshade. And that's only possible if he was on the ground in a vulnerable position.
I was just about to say that when you said that. I was like, it was under the lampshade. That means he was laying down under the lamp, not coming towards her.
Exactly. You watch a lot of cop shows.
So. I do. I've never heard this case yet. This is my first time reading it. So I'm just trying to get a picture in my head of the actual crime scene of what's happening.
If he was attacking her and coming at her, there wouldn't be blood underneath the lampshade.
No.
And all the blood and some, I guess it was brain matter and stuff, was up along the wall towards the ceiling.
So it looked like it was from an upwards motion. Yeah.
Yeah. In addition, no DNA of Sally's was found on Ray, which eliminated the forensic evidence to back up her story.
So he wasn't hitting her.
He did not attack her. Illegal steroids, however, were found in the apartment, and many of which can cause mood swings. 5 were in Ray's bloodstream during the autopsy, and when Sally was tested, she had 1. Even so, Ray was laying on the ground, disarmed and shot. While under arrest, Sally was evaluated by PhD Nancy Kaser Boyd for 9 hours. What Nancy found was, yes, she was definitely a battered woman. I'm not denying that she was.
Just might not have been that night. Really, like, after the, like, he was out with that girl, she maybe had, what do you call that? A rage inside of her?
Yes.
And just decided that tonight's the night?
Yeah. If I can't have him, nobody can. When Sally decided to take the stand, that was the end for her.
Yeah. Every time. It never works out well when you take the stand.
No. Her lawyer said, out of all the people that he had on trial, only 2 people he would ever consider having on the stand. And she was never one of them. He knew when she decided she wanted to go on the stand, which he said, don't do it, he knew, game over. Her old Marine demeanor came out to play, and she had no emotions. The prosecution went in for the attack and won. That poster that we were talking about, Killer Sally, came back and bit her in the butt. Would she get 35 years for murder? March 19th, 1996, and 3 days of deliberation, the jury had a verdict. Sally was not guilty on first-degree murder. She breathed a sigh of relief. But then, the next verdict came in. Sally was guilty of second-degree murder and sentenced to 19 years to life. The day that Ray was murdered was the day John and Shantina lost both their parents. While in prison and Sally's children across the country, they would visit their mom every July during summer vacation, but one day in 2004, they stopped. Not because they didn't want to see their mom, but because of explaining to people why they were going there. Pure embarrassment. There came a time when all correspondence halted. Both John and Shantina joined the military just like their mom. Shantina ended up repeating her mom's life, being in an abusive relationship, only wanting to be loved. The difference being, Shantina left her husband. As for John, he ended up with PTSD from military and his relationship went sour. He also had a child too. And same with Shantina.
Okay.
Sally served her sentence at the Central California Women's Facility in Chowchilla, California?
Yep, I think so.
Okay. On May 29th, 2020, after serving 25 years and admitting she had full intentions of murdering her husband, her parole was granted by the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation.
I do know that in front of the parole board, if you take ownership of your crime, they will grant you levity on their parole hearing. It's when you keep denying, 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 they'll never let you out. So for her to take the brunt of it, saying that I did it, gives her a better opportunity for her to be released.
And that's exactly what she had to do because she kept denying it over and over again. And finally, she's like, okay, I did it.
Well, she had 19 years, right? Probably the first 19, when she kept denying it, she probably was getting denied parole.
Right.
So now 6 years after all that, because it was 25 years now, she probably said, well, I got to take ownership of it and I'll probably get granted parole, and which what happened.
Yep. So at 62 years old, Sally is married to Norfleet Stewart, who she met through the Veterans Transition Center support group. This is the place for veterans to go to that are homeless and need to transition back into society. She currently resides in Northern California and works in a warehouse. She is also in touch with her children and has a great relationship with them, as well as her grandchildren. So that's the story of Sally McNeil.
What do you think? Do you think self-defense?
I don't. I
kind of knew you were going that way after you were talking about it, and I was kind of going the other direction.
Yeah. I truly believe that he was abusive to her, and she was abused. Like, I think it was just a volatile relationship.
So what I think is that he was definitely abusing her, and finally she had enough. Valentine's Day, he was with another woman, not with her, on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I know.
That set her off into a rage, yep. I bet. And when he came home, lights out.
I don't think he abused her that night. He might have been like emotionally abusive, but not physically.
And maybe came home saying, I want to leave you.
Maybe.
On Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Which could have set her off.
Yeah.
Especially with some steroids in her system, mm-hmm. with mood swings.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do believe that she was battered, though. Like, she was abused.
Oh, I believe that. 100%.
But abusive relationships don't have to lead to murder if you just
They don't.
I should rephrase that, because I'm not saying, because I know it's hard for abused women to leave a relationship. Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying it's on them. I'm just saying there's opportunity to get out if you want to get out. I know it's harder for some. But, I mean, there are always options out there.
I was in a very bad relationship and was beaten. And I stayed because your love, you think that the person's going to change and one day they're just going to stop beating you. And until that time comes that you have your eye opener, you put up with a lot of shit. And no matter how bad things are, it does not have to lead to murder. Just leave, call the cops, do something, get yourself out of that situation. And now, I don't think we had that many women's shelters back then, but now there's so many women's shelters that there's options for you.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. Before we put ourselves in their situations, mm-hmm. we can't say what you can and can't do unless we're in the situation.
Exactly.
The only thing I could say is that if you need help, get help.
Yeah.
If you could find it, try to find help any way you can.
I know I got really upset with some people saying, well, why don't you just leave in this abusive relationship? But unless you're in that situation, it's easy to say leave. It's hard. It's a hard situation.
Well, the fear too, right? Because you don't know what they're going to do if you try to leave, right? Because they could try to kill you if they find out that you're trying to leave. Before we walk a mile in their shoes,
right?
We can't really say what can and can be done.
Right. But if you knew that he was capable of murder, she knew that he was capable of murder.
Yeah.
Leave.
Yeah. She had opportunities because she had a job and stuff like that. She could have left. I mean, there's lots of shelters out there that help with financially mm-hmm. and get you safely away. I don't know. I think that she could have left. She was not in one of those situations where she didn't have an opportunity to leave because she had income.
Income. She was the breadwinner.
Yeah. So she could have left.
Yeah.
She could have one day when he was gone with his mistress.
Yep.
Even that night of Valentine's Day, she could have just taken the kids and left.
Exactly.
So there was ways out. I think she should have taken those.
Yeah, I think the night of Valentine's Day was just jealousy and murder.
Rage. Yep.
Yep. Right. So I think we're done, right?
We are done.
Oh, thank God. And the cats are getting antsy. The
cats are getting very antsy. They're hungry or something.
I don't know.
They want some wet food.
They want some attention.
I know.
They're like, love me, Dad.
Yeah, I think there's a few meows in here we probably won't be able to take out, but...
That's all right. We'll leave them.
Yep. And they're walking around our table, so you might hear them...
walking over the computers.
I thought he was going to turn the soundboard on and play some music or something.
They just own this place.
Pretty much. All right. I think that's going to end it to us.
Okay. So, the world is not always as it seems.
No, it's not.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the World's True Crime Podcast. If you liked what you heard and would like to help us out... please give us 5 stars or a review on any podcast site. Recommending us to your friends and family would be a bonus. If you didn't like what you heard, then you can still give us 5 stars and comment how bad we are.